Bombers. We'll start with injuries, your favourite topic. How is Matt Hodgson and Michael Fraser traveling?
They're coming along good. They're both, you know, I'd say trending in a positive direction. Mike did the most he's done today and he's since he's got hurt. But I think it's probably, we're not counting on him for Sunday, but he's not been ruled out yet either. I think Hodgie's probably been ruled out. I'm not sure what the specific designation is of his injury, like whether he's questionable or doubtful or whatever the word is, but we're not expecting him this week. But hopefully we'll be pretty close to full strength by game two against Brisbane.
How close is Fraser to building up and being able to complete everything that you want him to do and with an intensity that you see sort of up to a game-like situation?
I mean, it's hard to say. I guess it depends on how he responds from today. I think he's gotten a little bit better every day. His definitely his demeanor and his vibe was a lot more positive today, so that's a good sign. And he pushed himself quite a bit. I think it's just a quick turnaround for Sunday, but we're pretty optimistic that next week he'll be practicing in full and gearing up for normal attack on Friday night.
What's the sort of, I guess, the final piece of the puzzle for yourself to tick him off, I guess, from the medical department to make sure that he's ready to go?
I think it's more so in his hands now, just how fast he can get back out there in terms of the pain tolerance and making sure his range of motion is the same on both legs. And I think he's really close. But he hasn't practiced all week, so something like that means you usually got to take a day or so to make sure you're good. And he wasn't able to go live today, so I would guess that unless something really improves for tomorrow, he'd be out for Sunday. But you never know. He could come in Saturday morning and feel really good and go hard and be cleared. But at this point in time, it's too early to tell.
It's actually done. Like, it was soreness initially that was expected, was what was listed as ruling him out, and he's still not playing. Like, so has he torn something or strained something?
No, he got imaging done this week and everything was clear. It's just, I call it a Charlie horse. I think you guys call it a cork, I think. So anyway, he got kneed in the thigh. He got a knee in the thigh. It was unintentional and just something that happens pretty common. And just a matter of how deep, the bruise is, how much fluid's in there. I'm saying a lot of stuff that I don't have any idea what I'm talking about. These are just catchphrases that I've heard Josh and Dan say. But that's the bottom line. He's just got to get the range of motion back and get the pain a little bit down, and he'd be good to go.
Todd Blanchfield's progress. Can you give us a bit of an update where he's at and if he's expected to suit up on Sunday?
Yeah, we're expecting Todd to suit up. He looked great today. He's looked good all along and just kind of been getting a little bit more legs under him. I think he commented the first week that kind of felt like his legs were heavy, but he's looked good. He played in the second group today, but he looked every bit of himself from what I've seen on the film from days that he's perfectly healthy. So we're all really excited about his kind of rehab speed and pace, and Josh and Dan did a great job with him. He did a great job with his rehab. So he's back a little bit earlier than anticipated, which is pretty rare, but he's had two really solid weeks, so there's no worry about rushing him back. He's ready to go. He's been cleared.
So how do you use him? What sort of role does he play Sunday? Does he start? Is he off the bench? How does it look?
We still got to figure that out, but I think he'll have limited minutes. I'm not sure the exact number. I haven't been told yet. So usually when it's limited, I prefer to bring a guy off the bench just because it's easier to keep him in a rhythm and play him at the end of the game if you want to. Whereas if you start and burn a bunch of those minutes right off the gate, then either you're sitting for a long time or you can't finish. So that's just my personal preference, but I'll talk to him and we'll see where we all stand.
So how difficult it was for the opposition to stop Bryce and Beck at different times. You bring Todd in as well as a damaging shooter. That's excite you about the ability to really score strongly with different guys facing
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a good all-around player, too, so that excites me. And then just the fact that even if he's not involved in the actions offensively, he's a guy that you have to account for, and that helps our floor spacing. So someone like Vic or Bryce, the more space they have to attack, the more they're going to accentuate their strengths. And Todd's a perfect complement for those guys because he's someone you have to account for regardless of where he's spaced on the floor. And then we'll get him involved in some actions. We got a couple stuff that we've been running since I was hired that suits him really well. So hopefully we'll get to use him as a spacer, as a guy in the actions, and his length will also be valuable on defense as well because we're a smaller team that depends on our guards and our wings being long and active. So he fits the bill too.
Were you saying about Brisbane's height? Would that be a
I'm always concerned about all the team's height. That's what I realized in Tasmania is we're going to be smaller most nights. So it's kind of a choice from our guys. If they can take care of the defensive glass and really be tough in the interior, then we can use our strengths. And on the other end, by spacing them out, by flying around, you know, attacking off the dribble, using our speed, we just got to make sure we're not getting hurt on the other side of the coin where we're giving up second chances or we're giving up deep seals in the paint from the other team's bigs.
What's your messaging to the players? Obviously, you're smaller in the height. So how do you go about it? Is it positioning on the rebounds? What is it that you're sort of, I guess, coaching into the team in terms of trying to get their fair share of rebounds still?
Well, I think I'd say it's just like the off-the-court things that are important here. It's the intangibles, you know, heart, toughness, working together, things like that. So when it comes to rebounding, those things all fall into play. You got to be working as a team to make sure you're blocking everybody out. You got to be tough, not getting pushed around, and you got to have heart to try and have that desire to get the rebound. I don't know what the quote is, but I believe Charles Barkley was kind of famous for saying something like, it's not about your height, it's about your heart and rebounding, and we just need to have five guys that show it and we'll be okay. And that will allow us again to, you know, really use our strengths, which are speed and versatility, as opposed to maybe height on paper.
When Vic Ford signed with the Wildcats, some of his former teammates had a bit to say publicly criticising him for making the move. Do you expect any extra attention for him on Sunday?
I don't expect any extra. I think the other thing I've learned is, and I guess I knew it before I got here, but with the short season, 28 games, I'm not sure why it's not 27 or 36, but whatever, 28 games, every game is huge, and that means there's going to be tension and you know, high energy every game. And if you're not bringing that, then you're missing an opportunity to capitalize in those games. So I think our guys will be ready to play, and they'll be showing toughness and a bit of an edge no matter who's out there. And if that's a reason for Vic to be more ready to play, then great. But I'm hoping that we don't need reasons like that. I hope we're ready to play every night, no matter who the opponent is.
Your energy's been noticeable. You had a bit to say to the officials during the game. Is that something you've been enjoyed having a bit of? You don't mind having a bit of banter with the refs?
Well, I think every coach. I don't want to say every coach, but most coaches, I think, really appreciate when the referee will at least talk to you. And I know if I was a ref, I would always say, "Yeah, you're right. I was wrong." Anytime a coach complained, because it's the one thing that'll just shut a coach up right away. Most times, now if I said it probably five or six times a game, they'd probably get tired of me being wrong. But I think when a referee will at least talk to you, it's easier to stay calm. I think a lot of coaches tend to get worked up or lose sight of the important things when the referee won't acknowledge them. So a little bit of conversation goes a long way, I think. And I think the best referees, the most experienced referees, realize that, and even if they're, you know, full of it, they're gonna at least try and make you think that they're working with you. As far as the other night goes, we had a good conversation with Vaughn about car insurance and who's liable in collisions. So that cleared things up for me. I'll make sure I don't rear-end anybody, and I don't want any lawsuits coming toward the club when I'm driving the team vehicle.
Are you enjoying the league in general? Early days, but how do you feel you fit into it?
Don't know how I fit, but I know I really enjoy it. I like the coaching aspect. Compared to the NBA, there's definitely more practice time, which at least as a coach, I like that. It's nice to get out there and work with the guys and try and improve your stuff, as opposed to the NBA where it's like you get one day turnaround. We've probably had more practice here already than you'd have in a full NBA season. So as a coach, that's nice. Games are fun too, obviously, but like I was saying, with the short schedule, makes the games that much more important, which makes them more exciting, which gets you more jacked up. So all those things kind of add up. And I'm also really enjoying the players and the staff. It's a real atmosphere about winning and playing together. And I haven't had to worry too much about trying to get guys to play hard or to pass the ball or anything like that. They handle all that stuff. And as coaches, we can just get down to the X's and O's, which is why we got into this in the first place. We enjoy the game. We enjoy competing with the other team, trying to prepare better than the other team. And when the ball goes up, the competitive juices are there. So I'm really enjoying it. So hopefully we just can be competitive and successful all year, because regardless of all those things, if we don't win, it won't be too enjoyable. So hopefully we can take care of that at least enough times to keep us in it.
Thanks, Jeff.
couple of really hard fouls last weekend on Vic and on Bryce, one of which was overturned by the challenge on a technicality. Are you concerned at all about the way they're being approached when they're in a vulnerable position?
Not really. I mean, I guess time will tell if we think there's something unfair going on, but I feel like if I was coaching against those guys, I'd want to be playing them tough and not giving them anything easy, so they got to expect that every time out from whoever we're playing against. It was interesting on that challenge. We were joking about it. It was actually a bad challenge, even though he won, because the thing with the challenges are, even if you win, it goes to a jump ball. We won the jump ball and hit a three, so he would have been better off letting it go, but it's a tough, you know, thing for coaching. But as far as the guys go, I mean, they're tough. They've been good players their whole life, and I'm sure defenses have been keying on them and trying to make them uncomfortable and trying to throw them off their game since they started playing ball. So I don't think it's anything new. And as long as the referees are fair, which they have been, it should be par for the course.
Did you get any feedback from the NBL about the swearing in the timeouts and the procedures they want if you want to have a crack at the players?
No, but I learned that there's a lot more being broadcast than I thought. Definitely got a text from my mom right after the game. She wasn't overly pleased with the win because she values that side of things pretty highly, and I usually hear about it if she's not pleased. So not because of that, just because I realize there's a lot more being broadcast than I thought, so I'll try to tone things down a little bit. I'm no angel, but I don't like to be viewed as someone with a sailor's mouth all the time either. So I guess there's a time and a place, and I'll be a little bit more careful with the selection of the time and the place.
Just on Matt Hodgo's out of absence, so who played more court time with him out?
With Hodgie out?
Yeah.
Kind of everybody. Like Jook obviously played a lot more than he had played in the preseason, and he did a great job with his minutes. Played Jesse a little bit more at the five spot. Ollie played more. We weren't expecting him to play leading into the weekend if Hodgie had been healthy, and he did a really good job with his minutes as well. So it's kind of a committee to replace Hodge. But, you know, a little bit more from everybody and makes us a little bit smaller, like we were saying. So we have to do a better job on the glass and our schemes with post defense. But I have a little bit more confidence in our ability to do that after dealing with Zimmerman and Jawhai with Cairns.
Travis, what do you sort of think he's capable of? What do you think his ceiling is in this competition, at least anyway, after working with him for a little while?
I think his ceiling is really high. I think his challenge is making sure that he steps on the court every day, pushing himself to reach that ceiling. I don't just mean games. I mean practices, workouts, in the weight room, everything. excuse me, all that stuff adds up. And he has publicly, I don't mind saying because he said it publicly himself, he has pretty lofty goals individually, as he should have. And I think it's our job just to not only help him improve and to reach them, but to remind him that there's 1,000 or more guys in his boat trying to do the same thing for very few spots. So he can't afford to take a quarter or a game or a workout or a practice off. There's a lot of pressure on someone, but I think he's up for the challenge. And just a matter of now kind of maturing and proving that he can be an impact player on both sides of the ball for 40 minutes. A lot of times with young players, in college it'd be your freshman, or in the NBA or pro league it'd be rookies. Their goal is to kind of limit the amount of bad games they have and not too much worry about having standout games and learn how to be consistent. So I think he's getting there, but he still has some lapses at times through maybe part of a quarter or a shift where he's not at his best. And I think the next thing for him is to make sure that he's at his best for the whole time, controlling what he can control.
So is that a mindset thing that you feel as well in maintaining mentally strong throughout the full 40?
Yeah, for sure. And I think with him, it's been his starts more than anything. He's been great finishing games. He's been a really impactful player in all of our wins. And I think, and I've spoken to him about this, so I don't mind putting it out there because maybe it'll be more of a challenge to him. Is start the game like it's the game's on the line, and that will help you be locked in, take care of any little mental mistakes, and keep him being aggressive. We want him to be an aggressive player where he's making plays for him and his teammates. Not just a ball mover. His strengths are getting into the paint, finishing, finding open guys. So why not start that right from the get-go?
Cool element of the game this weekend. You coach, you play playing against, like the coaching against two Canadians coming up against each other. You wouldn't have thought that when you signed with the Wildcats, you were coming up against opposition coach you actually played against.
Excuse me. No, I mean, it's been so long since I played. I wasn't sure everyone was still alive that I played against. But James was a great player and at the level that we played at. I believe he was an All-Canadian. If not, he was very close. So it's the equivalent of being an All-American in the U.S. And he actually played with two of my best friends. So we have kind of a good mutual connection as well as having played against each other. Two guys that he played college with are still two of my best friends. So it was fun to send back a couple pitchers when we got together in Tasmania. And I know we're supposed to be killers and competitive, but for me, it's something you can turn on game day. It's not going to affect my preparation to root for him when we're not playing them. So we are hoping that we win the whole thing. But if for some reason a meteor hits the Bendat Center when we're practicing, I hope that they can take over and win it all.
You catch up with him at all while they're in camp, like the 2 weeks.
Yeah, we met up one time at night, just a couple guys from our staff, a couple guys from their staff. There's a lot of mutual connections. The other thing I'm learning about this league is it's pretty small. Basketball is a small world in general, and when you get here, it's like even smaller. You know, guys have played on different teams, work with different people. So I've always believed that you can be cordial and a good whatever former teammate or friend and still go for the guys throw it on game day. That's what we'll try to do. But, yeah, I have a lot of respect for him as when he was a player, and also the journey he's taken to get here. It's been a pretty cool route that he's taken. We all have cool journeys when you get right down to it, but he's been all over the world, has been back in Canada for almost 20 years, and this is just his most recent stop. So I think that, again, as a fellow Canadian, we're kind of rooting for each other, just not on Sunday or next Friday.
Do